You're listening to 66.6 FM. Radio TOVH. The Flush.
Oh yeah. Welcome back to another thrilling episode of the Toilet of Hell radio show. I'm Joe Thrash and Kill. With me, I've got 365 Days of Horror, or as we'll call him, Jordan. Jordan, how's it going?
It's going well. I want everyone to know that that can opening sound at the beginning of the show isn't a sound effect. You're really opening a drink every single time we record.
Yeah, I can't do this show without being properly hydrated. Again, big ups to Big Swig, the finest sparkling water in Texas. We also have with us today, making a long-awaited return, Brennaside.
Brenna. It's great. It's great to be here. Thank you so much. Although I do have to admit, man, when you did your Who Boy today, I just don't think I got that same energy we usually get.
What do you mean?
When you cracked it, you were like, Who Boy, instead of like a Who Boy, you know? It didn't have
very
that chutzpah.
Tired.
Didn't have the chutzpah, man.
And, I'm very tired.
I think we're all collectively tired, which was the conversation I was about to have. Just like nationally, globally, we're all going, Who Boy.
Yeah. No, it's kind of cool. Like, all those things that I worry about all the time, they're finally happening. It's exciting. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. I just wanted to follow up on a story that we had been touching upon here and there for a bit. And right now, this is from the Washington Post. The worst-case scenarios from the Sturgis rally are linking the event to roughly 266,000 coronavirus cases.
Oh, my God.
So it's entirely possible Smash Mouth will kill more people than Varg.
I'd say it's almost a certainty at this point, right?
The odds are in their favor.
There is a possibility that Smash Mouth could kill more people than fucking 9/11. Which, if you would have told me back in 2001 or so, I would have said, you know, I had a feeling about this.
The least surprising headline of 2020.
So I'd just like to, you know, this is our third update on Sturgis and probably the last one. Just wanted to let everybody know, that we were right and that, it is important to treat all motorcyclists with absolute disdain.
Yeah, like run him off the road, yeah.
Dying to see Chris Jericho sing AC/DC songs poorly.
Yeah, Jericho has been wrestling and such, so I guess he's not infected, or if he is, he's asymptomatic and destroying the AEW from the inside out.
I think all the vodka in his body is protecting him from any viruses.
Yeah, I hope that's how it works.
Just like the booze bloat gives a protective layer.
Yeah, it's nature's padding.
All around the vital organs.
You got that healthy pink sheen.
It's brownish, reddish, green. Just beautiful in the ring, man. Can't wait to see it again.
So, you know, pretty neat stuff. Glad that we could get this story from the beginning and follow it through. We'll, of course, update it if anything important happens here, but I doubt it will. It's probably fine. How have you guys been? What's the haps been?
Well, I'm working again. I'm at a job. I'm employed. And
condolences.
It's been awesome, man, having to earn my living through hard labor as opposed to just eating Cheetos at my leisure, you know. But I'm doing it second shift, so I've just been having to adjust to that sort of a life. I think I've probably mentioned that somewhere, but I'm still adjusting. It's still weird. Just having to pack your entire day in the first few hours of your day as opposed to the last few hours of your day. And just trying to live your life during sunshine as opposed to sunset.
I was always dog shit when I was working second shift because I didn't wake up until right before I had to go to work. And then I would just stay up until 4 a.m. to, you know, pack in all the rest of the day. And it's like, why is everything closed? It's because it's 2 a.m., you asshole.
That's the fucking thing is if I, like, want to eat after work, it has to be McDonald's. It has to be Wendy's. And I mean, I'm not proud of either of these options or any of these options, but whenever you pull into a drive-thru, like a late-night drive-thru, you're treated like a fucking pariah. Like, you're just the worst, slimiest possible piece of shit in the world. You go up to a drive-thru. Yeah, I'm sorry, Jordan, go ahead.
You could really hear the contempt in the workers' voices over the drive-thru speakers.
Oh, my God. Except I got to give it up for the Bell, Taco Bell. They know that they're in for it, that a lot of late-night pieces of shit want that spicy, awful, rehydrated beans and beef. So they're a little better, but if you go to any of the other ones, they're like, what the fuck are you doing here? And they'll give half your Baconator.
I guess Taco Bell's the only fast food place that I go to, and every time I'm like, hey, give me a bean burrito, and they're like, you got it, boss. Like, they're super nice about it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think Taco Bell treats their employees very good, but I don't know, maybe the free Taco Bell just makes them happier than the free McDonald's, I would assume.
Maybe. It's better for you. It's got to be.
Sure. There's a tomato in there somewhere.
No, I was really enjoying the outrage on Twitter on that viral video of somebody rehydrating beans at Taco Bell. Like, oh, y'all eating this?
Who gives a shit? Who cares? Like,
I guarantee you've got beans and or rice in your pantry right now that are it's the exact same shit.
It's like, okay, so it looks awesome when it comes out of a can in a perfect, like, cylindrical turd. Like, that's the appetizing way to eat beans?
There's no wrong way to eat beans.
Yeah. How about you, Jordan? What's up with the beans with you, man?
I don't know anything about beans, but I did watch Parasite this past week, finally.
Let's hear it. Let's hear you say it.
It was good.
Wow.
I don't know if it was Oscar worthy good, but I thought it was good.
Here it is.
Jordan, I mean, like, if you compare Parasite to other Best Picture winners, like, it's clear that Parasite is a better film.
Like, sure, remember, but that's like going, well, clearly Wendy's is better than Arby's. It's like, yeah, sure. But I mean, it is still Wendy's.
It's still
Arby's. Remember when The Artists won Best Picture?
Like, oh my God.
The silent film, like, oh, look at how fucking quirky this is.
Shit, yeah, that's because they eat up the artsy stuff when it comes to some of those things. And it doesn't help that you throw in, like, Avengers Endgame or something just because it made $1 billion. Like, well, that's clearly not the best movie either.
Well, you got to throw some red meat to the aggrieved nerds that aren't satisfied that their movie is the only fucking thing you can see at the Cineplex.
I just can't believe that, you know, Star Wars just got stiffed again, you know.
Yeah, I can't believe that the action figure commercial didn't win all the awards.
Yeah, it's too bad, man. You know, revenge turn make believe of the Skywalker walkers, whatever. It was a good movie. They had spaceships and also lasers. There was a lot that happened.
I mean, Parasite probably could have used a few lasers, let's be honest.
Just a couple. Yeah. Guys, there was a lot that happened in metal news this week. Somehow, like, against all odds, metal just had to be... It just has to do stuff. It can't stop and take a break for a week, so...
We did for, like, 3 weeks, and that way, like, all the news...
It's nothing happens, and then a lot of stuff happens, and then more nothing happens.
Yeah. So, like, we're going to have to make up some dumb game to play next week. But this week, we got all kinds of shit to talk about.
Well, it's currently when we're recording this, September 13th. And as you've seen in all the viral Facebook posts, September 15th is when America has had enough and all the masks are fucking coming off. But it's like, bro, you're really just, you know, showing your freedom to get kicked out of a Dunkin' Donuts. Still, I just
wait. What's happening on September 15th?
You haven't seen all the all the stupid grainy boomer posts about how America has just had enough on September 15th. Take off your masks. We're not doing it anymore.
I have not seen this actually.
You can just mute and unfollow all the people that post those things.
Well,
I mean, I never see any of it on Facebook because I've done that. It's a bitter experience.
Yeah, family is family. So what am I supposed to do?
You could unfollow them, but you're still friends with them, so you don't have to see Uncle Elroy saying, I'm not going to get kicked out of the Walmart.
Yeah, I guess it's just, you know, I fantasize about being estranged often, and I don't know, the world just won't allow me to. It just doesn't seem to work out that way. But yeah, back to metal news, which is what you guys, you know, as listeners, come on for, I'm sure.
Is it?
It must be, isn't it? It has to be.
All right, well, I think probably one of the biggest stories that I've seen here in a while is, I think that we're all familiar with Hatebreed, right? Like, that's a thing that you know about?
God damn it.
Jamie Josta, the front man for Hatebreed. This is pretty big news, and I am afraid that we're breaking it here, and I don't know if our listeners are ready, but Jamie Josta, the front man of Hatebreed, is releasing a very limited quantity number of bags of Josta pasta. This appears to be a penne. And it is available for a limited amount of time.
Okay. So
this is the news that we all need to let you know about.
When you guys were talking about Josta pasta before the show, legitimately, completely, I thought that you were just talking about it as like a cute nickname for stupid bullshit that he says online. So it's kind of like copy pasta. And that's just what I thought that meant. I literally had no idea that this motherfucker is like selling rotini with his name on it.
Get this shit. Okay.
Okay. I'm here for this. Fine. What's next?
For $7, not including shipping, you can get one bag of what appears to be about 14 penne shells.
Just as a reminder for people that don't buy pasta, you can go to your local supermarket and get a big box of it for literally $1.
And it's been that way since 1986.
It's by the way, like, you're limited to four bags ordering through
no
Jamie Josta's website.
That's not enough.
And that's not it either. Like, you know, okay, you can buy your bag of 14 shells or whatever, or for just a few dollars more, you can order one bag of shells and get a podcast shout out alongside a signed 8x10 picture for just $12.
What a deal.
I just don't think four bags is enough Josta pasta.
I mean, I'm gonna buy the premium package four times and get four podcast shout outs.
You invite the whole family over for a nice Sunday meal. You make the gravy, and then you have some perseverance penne. And I'm so disappointed that it's called perseverance penne and not just pastaverance.
Yeah, pastaverance would be better.
Pastaverance would have been better. That's like that's a missed opportunity right there.
I'm actually looking at a picture of the Josta pasta itself, the label, and on the back there's a quote from Jamie Josta.
Of course.
Which is just funny as hell. Why does your shitty 99-cent pasta need a quote? But anyway, this pasta, it fuels me. The flavor excites me. The texture is perfect. It makes me rock harder.
Holy shit.
He didn't fucking write that.
I fully believe he did.
I think someone showed him that and he signed off on it. That's just, there's nobody in the world that's that silly who exists as like a vocalist within the hard rock community anywhere.
I'm going to be honest with you. This looks like somebody purchased 30-ounce boxes of penne, split them into two, wrapped them up all shitty in plastic and slapped a piece of paper over it with Joss's logo on it.
That's exactly what this is. It must be it. And we're fucking fools for not getting in on that. But yeah, I think we should call up like, God, I don't know, Ronzini, Barilla, just have them test the quality of the pasta to see if it's really theirs or not.
I mean, yeah, like this is shitty white enriched pasta. This is the absence of nutrition.
I mean, can't wait for him to put out Angel Hair, but call it something like Devil Hair Pasta.
Fuck.
What if the band Angel Dust put out Angel Hair Pasta? That would make more sense, right?
Sure.
Death angel pasta.
Well, there's two angel dust, which always bothers me. There's the one that was like an old death metal band from whatever the 90s and 2000s. And now there's the hardcore one where the S is a dollar sign.
I was thinking of that one.
I think that all
band names are taken now.
Yeah, I think that all 24 Mayhems on Encyclopedia Metallum should all release pasta at the same time. And we have to figure out which one's the best.
I just got the worst idea. All of the fake Patushas putting out pastas at the same
Patushas.
Pastatushkas.
Just a series of competing goulashes.
I was just going to say goulash. Damn.
I fucking hate this genre.
People online fighting over which is the true goulash. Like it matters.
Anyway, now that this is out of the way, I guess we can focus on the less important news of the week. unless you want to continue talking about branded pasta.
That's all right.
I mean, someone should follow up with branded sauces.
I mean, that seems like a slam dunk, right? Bands have already done the hot sauce thing for years, right?
Right. Just shitty, like overly sweet, overly acidic, just fucking in a jar pasta sauce. Just made put Kerry King's face on it. He's crossing his arms. You're going to love it.
I mean, Jordan, you were complaining about not being able to get your favorite marinara the other day. Like, what if, I don't know.
Metallica Nera.
Yeah, I was thinking, my mind immediately went to like, I don't know, Dave Portnoy or something like, Mike Portnoy.
Bleacher I was confusing the
two assholes.
two assholes who drum, who just like aren't in bands anymore and can't shut up. It's an easy mistake to make.
Yeah, there's opportunities.
Barstool softener.
Jesus Christ. They probably sell a pasta already. Your cousin Sully loves it.
Asshole of Tony.
Yeah, Mustaine will do a marinara at some point. Like, there are options here. Are there any, I don't know, are there any notable Italians in metal?
Joey from Manowar.
I don't think I would want to eat that.
Joey, your spaghetti's ready!
Your spagoot.
Ugh.
I'm not coming out of the basement until you get fresher mozzarella.
My prosciutto.
What the fuck is this show anymore?
I don't know, man.
We're getting it all out of our system so we can talk about more serious things.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Here's a more serious topic, and this leads me perfectly to another excellent segue. The other week on Jamie Josta's podcast, the guy from Coal Chamber and Devil Driver was on, Des Fafara.
The one
you
with the
Coal Chamber, right, guys?
The one with the nose ring. The guy that's fucking 20 years old, for 20 years older than he should be, with that nose ring. That guy. I know the guy.
You know, for our younger listeners, I really can't stress this enough, what a source of joy Coal Chamber was for a generation before you.
Big truckers,
Jordan, as our resident nu metal scholar, do you want to maybe fill in some background here?
Well, Coal Chamber were a nu metal band from Los Angeles, and they got pretty popular in the late 90s in the nu metal explosion with extremely stupid songs like Loco and Big Truck, in which they espoused the abilities of having a big truck, and the song Rowboat, where they insisted that someone gets out of their rowboat.
Yeah, I suggest that you move.
Then they broke up in 2002. Des formed Devil Driver, which was pretty much just a more metal, less new metal version of Coal Chamber. Coal Chamber got back together for like one album and a reunion tour, in which he had zero interest, but was like, yeah, I like money. And that's about it.
Yeah. Devil Driver, I know that we've talked about on the show before for their just god-awful country and western cover album.
Outlaw country.
Yeah, just woof. Real dog shit stuff. Devil Driver probably one of the worst successful bands of the last, I don't know, 20 years or so. Anyway, it's a hot topic right now among men of a certain age to discuss how they're ready to murder anyone that threatens their family. Something about becoming middle-aged and the possible threat of a black-clad teenager standing up for the rights of others. You just gotta have to figure out different ways to fantasize about murdering them. That's what you do when your dick don't work anymore. So look forward to it as you get to that age. Dez was opining about situations that he might possibly find himself in. He said, and this is, let's go ahead and put on our constitutional scholar hats real quick. The Second Amendment, actually the whole Constitution, it's very important to me. I've got a sticker on my front door that says, "Don't tread on me." All my family's licensed and armed. My wife is an amazing shot. I live in Southern California between LA and San Diego. It's a pretty suburban area, blue collar area, actually. We've had some stuff happen. Multiple mailboxes get broken into once in a while or this or that, but I've got Ring cameras. And I'm like, who's cruising back and forth in front of the house at 3:45? That kind of thing. But you're not going to come here. I've got a Great Dane and a Doberman. Everyone's armed. I'm sleeping with a Mossberg next to my head. I don't want anything to come here. I keep the Second Amendment to keep myself and my family safe. Those gun owners that are misusing that kind of gotta watch themselves, I think. They paint that picture of Americans and guns. Well, the Second Amendment was to defend ourselves, to defend our Constitution, to defend ourselves from foreign invaders. If you use it wisely and you don't give everybody else a bad name, it is what it is. It's to protect me from anything that may come my way. I don't live behind a gated community, which maybe some of us should, I guess.
I mean, what if the King of England just walks into Dez Fafara's living room and starts pushing him around?
Would you
what
like
is he supposed
that?
To do? Huh? Huh? Dez? Huh?
It doesn't sound like he's protecting himself or his family. It sounds like he's protecting, like, his Amazon mail order of Josta pasta from hoodlums grabbing it from him.
Are you guys on Nextdoor in your neighborhoods?
No, I can't. I couldn't do it. You can comment on the things people say, right?
Yeah.
I would just fight all day.
But I joined it and, like, within a day got a ban. Because people in your neighborhood are insane. It doesn't matter where you live. Everybody in your neighborhood's insane. They think the apex of crime, somebody maybe stealing an Amazon package, is like worthy of summary execution.
Amazon will send you a fucking another one. It's how they're Amazon.
It's fine. It's fucking fine.
It's actually fine. You will all of the way survive.
The government is literally delaying your medication from getting to you. But yeah, you're going to shoot someone for stealing your $5 back scratcher you got from half.com.
No, like if somebody on their fucking Amazon Panopticon security device sees a black teenager in your neighborhood, they will get on Nextdoor and warn everybody with one of those urgent alerts that gets sent to your phone immediately. These people, like, doesn't matter what neighborhood you're in, everybody in your neighborhood is this way.
Alert. A basketball bouncing somewhere in the cul-de-sac.
Exactly. Like, these people are like, we have to remove the basketball courts.
When the Great Civil War comes, the guy from Coal Chamber will be in the same foxhole as you.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like sleeping with a Mossberg next to your head is probably an overreaction to somebody maybe breaking a mailbox once.
I feel that bit of news might be some foreshadowing for a possible news story in the future.
Yeah, a heavily tattooed man blows away teenager, like, suburban Southern California street.
It's like, really, anyway, when I hear that, I just hear, like, I fall asleep with a Mossberg by my head, but really, I fall asleep with a Mossberg in my mouth after crying for an hour. Because I'm fucking Dez from Devil Driver.
It's just like, man, I know that every dude from metal bands that, like, when I was a kid, they're old and they're shitty. Like, you don't have to verify it.
Like, it's like a blue check mark on Twitter.
It's just everybody is like just old and reactionary, and it's sad.
Just keep it to yourself, Grandpa Des. So anything else about this, or can we move on?
I mean, like, just let's put a pin in this because we will be revisiting.
Right. Fair enough. We'll put that on the Pepe Silva board, and we'll be drawing the thread to the next topic.
All right. Go ahead and lead us to the promised land, away from the two dumb items that I had to talk about this week.
Two dumb items. I mean, this important stuff. We got Sturgis. We got Dez. We got Jostipasta. That's three dumb things. It's like a little bonus. So the elephant in the room this week, I think, more than anything else, is probably the Holy Roar Records incident. We had a couple young women, or at least one young woman, come out about the guy who runs it. What's his name? Alex Fitzpatrick?
Yeah.
Apparently he's just like a huge, awful, abusive piece of shit, and just about every band that could have possibly signed to his record label, as well as all of his team members, have just like just gone in a massive migration as far away from this entire label as possible.
Which is the correct move. And yet some bands and other labels and other people are incapable of doing that.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, like, the label itself had presented a posture, and especially with the bands that were on it, that, you know, it was really a forward thinking record label with a lot of like great bands on the roster that, you know, presented a lot of different viewpoints. You know, we've talked about a lot of the bands on that roster in the past. Like, I like Ithaca a lot. I think that's a super great band. And if you are a giant you know, predatory monster, and you want to have a successful operation that continues after you're exposed for that kind of behavior, it seems like it'd make more sense to have a label like Profound Lore, where that's expected.
Where it's just business as usual.
Yeah, where people will break their backs to fucking defend you.
Right. It's like, what did you think was going to happen signing Profound Lore? You know, it's like, now, who's really the victim? It's your dumbass, you know? But in this case, yeah, no, I mean, if you're the type of label to sign a band like Svalbard and then, like, go around and act like this, something's gotta fall through, you know? It's just... And,
yeah, Svalbard, great band, by the way.
Yeah, very good band. Would recommend. I'm just kind of, like, beside myself. How does this... how are the worst offenders the one who, like... prop up the greatest ideals? I just, it really makes you cynical.
Yeah. I mean, do I have to do the rant that I do every time we do here?
I mean, yeah, we might as well refresh it.
Okay. Well, when you're put in a position of power and influence among people, it doesn't even matter how big the scene is. You'll find that a lot of people will have bad intentions and scrape and scrap their way to get to the top so that they can do bad things to people because they're bad people. It's some kind of corrupting influence of power. And the only way to really get rid of all of this is, number one, to totally excommunicate anybody that you know that's a creep. You got to do it. And number two, eliminate all power structures. It's that easy. Let's get started.
Okay. I got a couple hours in the day. I think I can knock it out.
Let's knock it out.
Well, right, I'm glad a lot of the bands, if not all the bands, stepped up and have moved on. It's, you can kind of forget how difficult it can be when things are signed and you have deals and contracts and stuff like that. You kind of have to figure out, like, can we go to another label right away? Are we stuck? Are we locked in? So that stuff can be complicated. But for the most part, most bands jumped up and stated right away their intentions to leave.
Well, also, all of the staff of this small record label were like, we're out. It's just basically Alex.
Right. So anything that happens in the future that involves Holy Roar, if he, like, the fucking minimum move here is he should just change the name and do something else.
he's going to take out all the vowels and it'll be Holy War, but H-L-Y-R-R Records.
Yeah, with like an upside down cross in it and just sign only ignorant black metal bands.
Yeah, that's the that's the kind of shift you can expect.
That's all that will happen. So I do have the allegation, so to speak, in front of me, like the post that I saw from Treasure Goblin on Twitter that kind of outlines the things that went on and what Alex Fitzpatrick did. Do you want us to read through it real quick, or should we just point people in the direction? What do you guys want to do?
Let's just point him in the direction on this one. I don't want to dig into the details on this. They're out there for anybody to see. Every band that you like that was on this record label has made their statement, and Alex himself put out just this total wiener bullshit.
Now I didn't
the hemming and hawing type of response you've come to expect from these people.
Yeah.
Now the hemming and hawing shit I didn't see from him, and I can't wait to go find that. I will dig that up at my leisure here. But to just briefly summarize, it involves he actually like raped a woman at a certain point, someone that he was like having a consensual relationship with, just forced himself on her at a certain point. He was very controlling and abusive to this particular person, and that's just one of the incidences. So that's like what I know from what I've read. But he was, he's the kind of guy that would just constantly blow up, somebody's messages to harass them constantly. And, just all around really great guy. Yeah.
Generally, if you're making some kind of statement against allegations against you, and you say like it was 8 years ago, that's
that's not a great start.
It's not gonna...
Oh well then. That was in the past.
I'm reading right here in the allegations. Sometime in April 2018, which I don't know if I have enough fingers to count, but I don't think that was 8 years ago.
Yeah, it's as I said, wiener bullshit. We don't have to dig in. I just want to say, like, it is really great to see people these bands I really like that are on this label that were like, nah, this isn't gonna work. We're pulling our shit. We're leaving. Good on them. Good on the staff of Holy Roar. Like that is the pro move, I would say.
And one thing I wanted to bring up, because it's just sort of interests me, is in this particular situation where you find out that the record label runner is a humongous piece of shit and you don't want to associate with them anymore. How does it go if you have certain contracts with this company, so to speak? I mean, I know that with underground labels, it usually doesn't even get that serious, but I wonder what you can do in these sort of situations, given what kind of label deals you sign.
It depends on the deal. In a lot of cases, labels under this sort of situation will dissolve. So you're kind of free of any contract that you might have signed. If they try to enforce in any sort of way, there are kind of loopholes and legal outs that you can try to do. I know bands don't have a lot of money to deal with lawyers.
Yeah.
The options that I think some bands have dealt with is that they dissolve the band and just reform under a different name. That's happened as well. You know, even bigger bands have had issues with their major labels, and they'll just put out like a best of album just to complete the contract, just so they can be free of it too. So there's some options, you know, on a small scale like this. I would think that most are not under any sort of serious contract or will easily to get out of it. So the story doesn't continue. Yeah. You know, it's a different and harder bad look again if this pops up again 3 months from now, because the guy won't let Ithaca sign with another label or something like that.
Right.
It just dredges up all the news and the bad press again, and
absolutely,
people will dig in further, and then legal situations will crop up, making this far worse. It's in his best interest to shut the fuck up, go the fuck away forever, and let the bands do what they want to do.
Yeah.
I just assume that, like, if there are some complications there, Ithaca would change the A in the middle of their name to an I, just like the city in New York.
Just become Syracuse.
Just become Utica.
We are Binghamton.
Yeah, man.
This one's called steamed hams.
get a real job, Alex. I don't know what to tell you, bud. It's over.
He's now got, only the same stuff can be applied to Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, man, like, I guess I had heard just various rumblings for years that Marilyn Manson was a creep. And then, like, recently there was a video going around of, was it Evan Rachel Wood?
Yeah, actors from Westworld and The Wrestler and a bunch of other things that you've seen.
Yeah, she was just giving this just incredibly heavy testimony, you know, where she was outlining... And she doesn't say the name, of course, of who it is, but we all know it's Marilyn Manson.
You can put two and two together because she mentions, like, when she was 18, and there's very easily found news stories where it talks about her dating Marilyn Manson when she was 18.
Yeah, and just the insane amount of physical and emotional abuse that this guy rained down on her for years, and just... It is hard. It is a hard watch to get through all of that. That motherfucker has a new record out. I guess it's out already. Anyway, don't listen to that shit. Fucking throw that guy in the trash.
Don't listen to it. Don't review it. This story, I mean, these videos have been out for like a year now, and it kind of crops up on Twitter somewhere in like April, and now it's just kind of cropped up again because Blue Check Marks found it out and. Which is a good thing. It's good that more people are talking about it, but you could easily find multiple versions of her speaking about this, whether it's testifying, talking about, I believe it's called the Phoenix Act, when it's giving a cushion for people who've been abused to legally deal with their abusers, and just personal interviews that she's done. This has been talked about a lot, and people in the music press and further should... really acknowledge it and talk about it more.
Yeah. I remember like, years and years and years ago, reading excerpts from, The Long Dark Road Out of Hell or whatever, his autobiography, just, you know, the portrait of a fucking just total sociopath.
I mean, right now on Blabbermouth, the album has a rating of an 8. Now, I can tell you for a fact, that album ain't an 8, no matter what information is going on outside of the music. But, eight. I mean, come on.
Ain't an 8, no way. Out of 10, 2 points away from a perfect album, how? At this stage of his career, no fucking way.
But, it's ridiculous. They give 8 to everything, apparently, right now.
It was a common talking point, I guess, from the 90s to the early 2000s that, you know, despite his public persona, he's a really articulate and well-thought person. It's like, well, number one, he's not anymore. He's fucking ruined his brain with drug and alcohol abuse. And also, he's been just an incredibly vindictive, shitty, abusive person the entire time. So maybe don't hold him up as some kind of example of intelligence within the metal scene.
Oh, yeah. Everyone loves to show that same, like... David Letterman interview or just like where he's just like, oh, well, actually Columbine is, you know, they blame it on me because smart words. And
yeah, it was
just
the shit from Bowling for Columbine.
Right.
Yeah.
It just doesn't like anyone with a fucking high school education could come to that conclusion. It just, I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking too soon with the state of the nation, but it is what it is, man. It all comes back to that. Hey, so yeah, you're a metal fan. Stop listening to Marilyn Manson anyway.
Good point.
That was like an old school camo pants crossed arm situation for me, like back in high school. Like I'd, you know, laugh at a guy for wearing a Marilyn Manson shirt. So I'm just glad I always get a repeat on that as my life continues.
I never got into Marilyn Manson. It wasn't like metal enough, and it wasn't poppy enough. I guess it did not hit the buttons that I needed.
No, for sure, and I'm well aware that the stupidest thing you could do is like a straight white guy on the internet who finds out someone is just a totally cancel worthy piece of shit is be like, well, I don't like them anyway. I never liked them, and then prop yourself up as some kind of. Morally superior figure because of that fact. But yeah, I'll always take the opportunity I can to say that I fucking hate his music.
I would say that it was more perplexing to me than anything else.
I was just too old of a soul. I was like, I don't get it.
Anyway, we can move on to the next segment now, I believe.
Next segment. Oh, golly. What else happened this week? Do we got anything else from the Blabbermouths or the Metal Archives or the...
I mean, I always have shit pulled up.
Are we at our new metal quota for the week?
I think so. Why don't we get back into something a bit more of the underground spectrum, the Metal Archive spectrum, the NSBM stuff. Let's get back into that. Let's put our gloves back on, just the elbow long ones. Just get those on and, you know, just oil them up good. And let's just sift through this fucking manure, because that's what we're here to do. And that's what we do best.
God damn it. Okay.
So not really an NSBM band at all. Never was, never will be. One of my, like, they're my favorite, one of my favorite bands right now. And I was very interested to hear any news from them in that camp. The band Harakiri for the Sky. Sort of a post-hardcore, black gaze, black metal kind of a band. Strongly recommend. Great, great music. But
You've played them on this particular program before.
Oh yeah, if I like a band, I'll make people listen to it. I don't let people have that choice. They're
you just play it and like fold your arms and make sure they're listening to it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like we could have the goofiest episode ever, and then I'll just put some horrible kill yourself music on at the end. It doesn't matter to me. So. Harakiri for the Sky, they announced their latest album, which, God bless me. God bless my fucking soul if I can pronounce this correctly. Mare? it's the letter M, and then that thing where the A is combined with the E, and then R-E.
It's a schwa.
So, Mishrari?
No, the name of the AE is called a schwa.
It's called a schwa, but how is a schwa pronounced?
Aye?
Myri?
You have to pronounce it like Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Myri? That's it. I got it. I nailed it. So they released the tracklist information 2 days ago. This is just 2 days old. And some notable things. We have track number 2, Sing for the Damage We've Done, which features... of Nej of Alcest. Nej of Alcest. Everybody loves him. He's a beautiful fairy creature man who makes beautiful music. And
he got long hair. It's nice.
It's so nice. I will message him his hair care products at some point. We will get that on the show. I don't want an interview, Nej. I just don't want to waste your time. I just want to know what you're using. You look great.
Pretty popular.
Right. And there was another track list that was featuring another guest voice, and they've since edited it, so I don't know which song it was going to be, but it was going to be Audrey Sylvain, a young lady from France.
That's the lady that sung on those Amasur albums.
With Nej, that's who that is. That's honestly, that's all I knew about her. Just in my own ignorance, I had no clue. I was like, oh, cool, because I remember the Amasur.
I love Amasur. Like that was a really cool project. I still listen to that. Like that thing's great.
It's a good fucking spin. And there's just that that part of that one song where she just starts screaming like lady. That's great. Just it's like I'm down for it. The French, man, they know how to throw down. what the French don't know how to do is apparently, if they have to exist anywhere in the metal scene, they at some point have to kiss Famine from Peste Noire on his fucking ring finger for several years, because Audrey Sylvain, as everybody pointed out to me this week when I foolishly expressed excitement over the new Harakiri for the Sky, she was like a longtime Peste Noire member all the way up until 2016. And she is very vocal in all of her French words I don't want to translate online about what a huge piece of shit she is. So she's all for the racisms and the nationalisms. It's her favorite. It's her favorite. She loves it. Yeah. So Harakiri,
fucking French, man.
The fucking French.
She's got a big yellow vest somewhere in her closet.
Don't we all?
It's just like man, like, we have to start eliminating nationalities because you can't trust a project from Ukraine. You can't trust a project from Russia. Can't trust anything from France now.
I mean, when I come across bands, I legitimately, when I see where they're from, when it's certain countries, I raise an eyebrow and check my sources. You know what I mean?
That sucks. Isn't that stupid? It's like, I do it too, because we have to, apparently.
I would rather get ahead of it and not waste my time and like start to like a band only to go, oh, they're pieces of shit. Well, I guess I don't. I'd rather know at the beginning.
That's, you know, good on you. But in my case, particularly here, we got a band that's been a longtime favorite of mine that is doing something screwy. So they were going to feature Audrey Sylvain, this lady who has been a longtime Passé Noir member and a longtime piece of shit on the album. And just an hour before we started recording on Facebook, they released a statement. Most of the statement was to talk about how they're going to have a release show January 2021, which, for what you say, that's a little early, even if it is in Vienna. Like, come on.
Just, we'll see about that.
We'll see. We'll see how that goes. But they released a disclaimer, and they are from Austria, so forgive me if I stumble on some words here. They say, "We love our freedom and therefore strongly oppose of any oppressive ideologies, as this didn't seem to be clear to some. In consideration of that, as some of our fans brought it to attention by providing concerning insights, we removed one guest for part from our upcoming album, of which the other guests also were not aware of." And that's the... And I don't know Austrian, that's their English. So, they didn't mention out loud who it was in this disclaimer, but if you go back to the post where they talk about the track list, or they release the track list, I mean, her name is now deleted, so.
Huh. Now, do you think she's completely off, or are they just not going to credit her?
What I'm taking from this is that they removed one guest part from the upcoming album. So maybe they just went to the track and edited out her singing part. Maybe they're going to replace her with someone else. I can't say for sure. But as far as it looks, she's off the record due to the backlash.
Somebody's just going to do like the Antares gender switch thing where they're harmonizing with themselves as a lady.
Maybe. But here's kind of the big kicker of all this is that, as we all know, Nej was also in Passé Noir.
That's like a thing that I think that it's come up before. Like when he was like a teenager, he played on one of the demos, right?
Yeah. So I have gone on through my life telling myself to make it okay to enjoy one of my favorite bands, Alcest, that just like, yeah, this guy was in Passé Noir for like 10 minutes for a practice somewhere. And so with this whole thing with Audrey Sylvain coming out with Harakiri for the Sky and everything like that, I'm curious. I do a little bit of research. Nej was involved in Passé Noir for 8 entire years. From 2000,
less than a decade. What's the big deal?
From 2001 until 2009, he had some involvement with this band, whether it was vocals or guitar or drums and bass. He was all over this band. He is like he was a member of Passé Noir for real. And I didn't really know that until today. And some people have kind of been like, he was in Passé Noir. And I was like, God, can people just rub a shoulder by accident and fuck you? But I mean, now I just, it's so interesting that Harakiri immediately pulled out with this Audrey Sylvain feature due to her Passé Noir connection. But, you know, Nej remains and Nej is okay. And for what it's worth, you know, FWIW, my dudes, Nej has like been like, sorry, 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 sorry. Yeah, I know. I'm sorry. I don't do that. Nope. That's not me. I am the pretty long haired, fairy, beautiful forest man that you know me as now. I'm not a racist. I love all the people. It's cool. Please stop. I'm sorry. he's really trying to distance himself since, even if it was just 11 years ago instead of the 20 years ago I thought it was. But Audrey Sylvain is just like super racist online. She loves racism, like I said. It's her favorite.
Fucking French, man.
Fucking French. So it's like, what do you do at this point? You know, like, how, where do you go from here? Is Nej just such a cultural icon in the scene that he gets the pass? But, you know, it's just such a shaky situation here.
I mean, you did say it yourself that, like, he has apologized for, you know, what he did in the past, and he's trying to make it right, I suppose. Whereas Sylvain is like, hell yeah.
It's always interesting to see who gets a pass and who doesn't. Like, whenever I think of musicians getting a pass for bad associations, I always think of Pig Destroyer.
What did Pig Destroyer do?
Do you mean like the stuff with Gorefuck Nosebleed?
Wasn't he also involved in Anal Cunt?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. No, that's definitely true.
So it's always just like, this person's in a thing. Boo, they're bad. Get them out of here. And then you have, people love Pig Destroyer. And, it's, you know, he was just in a band with a horrible, terrible person. I don't know. I don't know what the differences are at the end of the day.
I think that for a lot of people, for right or wrong reasons, Anal Cunt gets a pass for some version of irony, whereas Peste Noir does not get that.
I don't know. How long of a career do you have before it stops being ironic?
That's a good question. I don't know. I've talked about my many conflicted feelings about that band in the past, and I don't have a good answer for you other than that I know that Seth Putnam was a piece of shit.
Yeah, I've seen him in interviews. I don't know how ironic he really was. Yeah, it's just, it's like you said, it's interesting to see who gets a pass and who doesn't.
I mean, we all do it in some way or another, whether it's musicians or actors or athletes or just people we know in real life.
Oh, yeah. Like the rock and roll lifestyle of some of the most major groups in the world that have inspired all of us and got us into heavy music. Like, they've done fucking impossibly horrible things. Like, they've abused people. They've, like, fucked underage girls. They've just, they've ruined lives everywhere they've gone. But, like, I don't know, man. He's David Bowie. What the fuck else am I supposed to do? You know, it's and you look at some of these situations and you go, like, where's the line? Like, how many years does this guy have to be passed? And how many times does he have to apologize? How sincere can we make the apologies and see, like, where this goes? I mean, if Famine from Peste Noir apologized for everything tomorrow, where does that stand? You know,
I mean, like a year ago, he was putting on both blackface and a KKK hood, like to just really like grind it in there. Like, hey, I am a racist.
Yeah. But this like demo that everybody's talking about with Nej, it was called like Aryan Supremacy. So
yeah,
it's just like, where do we draw the line is just. Yeah. Mostly where I'm coming from with all this.
I think it all just comes down to just personally what you're able to tolerate and what you're not. Today on Twitter, it's a Roald Dahl's birthday and people are tweeting out their favorite stories and ignoring the fact that he was such an anti-Semite, the British government wouldn't put him on one of their coins.
Jesus Christ. That's... You have to hit a whole new level of anti-Semitism for the British to be like, hold on there.
What's all this then?
Oh, what's all this then?
What's all this then?
No, it's different, though, because, I mean, that was, like, before our lifetimes. And this is like, hey, this guy's, like, maybe playing... Well, he's not going to be playing a show near you anytime soon, but he could.
There is, but, like, in comparison... People talk about H.K. Lovecraft being a racist piece of shit all the time.
Oh, man, did you see that thing that I retweeted the other day?
Did you get that thing I sent you?
It was like a very like late in his life letter to a friend from H.P. Lovecraft where he was talking about what a piece of shit he was when he was younger and that he wishes he could go back and kick his own ass.
Well, see, that's the... I guess that... Maybe that's the redeeming quality, is that you can recognize, like, man, I'm not that person. I don't ever want to be that person again. And you can say those sort of things out loud. But it all depends on what that kind of person did. I don't know.
Yeah, that's It's very complicated, and as my credentials are as a guy that talks on a microphone for 1 hour a week, I'm afraid that it's above my pay grade to say, like, okay, well, this is where the line is, because it has to fall with you, with what you're comfortable with.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm gonna listen to the album. I'm gonna love the album. I gotta give them some credit for trying in this particular case. But yeah, it's just it's the kind of thing that makes you take your shower about 6 or 7 minutes longer than you should, just staring at a wall as the hot water boils you. You know, that's all I gotta say. That's all I gotta say about that.
But you know, Harry Carey for the Sky. They heard their fans saying, "Hey, yo, what the fuck?" And they were like, "Oh, Well, we'll do something about that," which is commendable.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You got to, so we can move on. Anything else going on major or fun this week?
Did you know that Eddie Van Halen once put a gun to Fred Durst's head?
No.
Just because?
For the sake of music? Like, how did that happen?
There's a book coming out soon with written by Fred Durst, I believe. And I have this excerpt here from it, and it says, the account begins when Van Halen and Durst were introduced at a party shortly after guitarist Wes Borland left Limp Bizkit. It was reported at the time that Van Halen had auditioned to replace Wes Borland. At a record label executive's behest, they got together at a house in Beverly Hills to rehearse together, but Van Halen split after people began smoking weed and left all of his equipment that he had brought behind. Eddie drove that assault vehicle through L.A. into Beverly Hills, then parked and left it running on the front lawn of the house Limp Bizkit was rehearsing in. He got out wearing no shirt, his hair in a samurai bun on top of his head, his jeans held up with a strand of rope, and combat boots held together by duct tape, and he had a gun in his hand.
That's fucking awesome.
That asshole answered the door, Bennett said, Van Halen said. I put my gun to that stupid fucking red hat of his, and I said, where's my shit, motherfucker? That fucking guy just turned to one of his employees and starts yelling at him to grab my shit. This is probably the best rock and roll story I've heard in a while.
Just imagine, man. Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, those years, Eddie Van Halen was not in a great place.
Apparently. Allegedly, that must be true.
But if you can put aside the you know, fantastical nature of Eddie Van Halen strung out, holding a gun to Fred Durst's head, you can imagine very briefly what kind of a fantastic future we would be living in had Van Halen replaced Wes Borland and Limp Bizkit. So you imagine, like, the hands of all people of all nations joining together and singing in harmony.
Just what a weird combination that is. Who thought that was a good idea?
A record executive. I think it could have worked. I think it would have been I think it would have been worthwhile.
Just the worst cover of Hot for Teacher ever.
I would have listened to it. I would have bought that record.
Yeah, seriously. I would have downloaded that MP3 on Napster.com.
Got it bad, y'all.
All right, boys, I think this is about time. Do we want to put a cap on this with anything else? Is there any other anecdotes that we want to leave our listeners with before we let them enjoy the rest of this Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or whatever day they decide to listen to the best show on earth?
Yeah, I do have one thing that I want to say. And okay. For all of our Texas listeners, people that have been involved in Texas metal and hardcore for a long while, it's been a tough time since the passing of Riley Gale, and you know, shit just kind of keeps happening. I got news last night that Wade Allison of Iron Age, well, he'd also been in Mammoth Grinder, another like Texas heavyweight.
Oh yeah,
he passed away, and it sucks so fucking hard because, I mean, number one, you would have never had Power Trip without Iron Age. Those guys were like their mentors. They were mentors for a lot of dudes in the Texas scene, and this is. It's just a huge, huge loss. So If it's possible on this week's episode, I would really like for us to listen to some Iron Age, especially if folks out there were not familiar. They were a great band. I got to see them do a reunion show a couple of years ago. And just it's a huge loss, and the hits keep coming, man.
Absolutely. We'll play a track after we're done here. Is there a track you'd like to suggest?
Burden of Empire is a really fucking good one.
Burn of Empire. Yeah, we'll play it, man. All right, well, that's all it for me. We'll play some Iron Age for you. And, yeah, man, just keep your friends close. Keep it metal. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Love you.
Thank you.
Burning of Empire.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.